Welcome back to the show. We have a special guest in studio back for another edition of The Crime Traveler, Ed Prucci, News Talk 1010 Chief Legal Analyst. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here. The tan is just fading off my couple of weeks in Florida. It's a shame.
Couple of weeks in Florida. And did you notice, this is a little broadcasting secret. Did you notice I didn't ask you a thing about it? I didn't want to talk about it until we got on the air.
That's right.
You can't recreate any of it. And I don't like to do any of that chatty chat before. So we were talking about other things.
Absolutely. I learned that from Jerry Agar, so yeah. Who started my career in the radio biz. But he, anytime we start getting into a fight in the green room or in the boardroom, before we come on, he stops and says, save it for the air.
Yes. So that's what here we do. So you were away, and I was telling our listeners earlier, it's so funny that the last time you were in, I knew you were going to Universal, but we couldn't talk about it because you were surprising your kids.
Yeah, I was. And the surprise actually worked. So right up until the very day before, we didn't tell our kids that this is what was happening. We told them they were just going to get in the car and we were heading for like a day trip, and we just kept on driving, essentially. And we let them in on it sort of midway into that. They were wildly excited, primarily because my girls are 13 and 12. They are humongous Harry Potter fans. And for those people who follow this at all, the big, huge get that Universal Studios succeeded in a few years back is signing a license with Harry Potter and with J.K. Rowling. So what they've done is they're effectively two parks in Universal Studios. And if you've been there many years ago, let's say more than 5+ years ago, what you remember then is almost nothing like what it is now. And they've divided these two parks up, and each one of them anchors a piece of the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
Wow.
And they're then connected by, again, if you're a movie fan, the Hogwarts Express, which is, of course, the train that brings the kids off to the wizarding school. And when I say, you know, the train is there, everything is there. The detail is unreal. My kids are freaks about this. And so they tried to find errors or mistakes. And I think they came up with one, and that was about it. One shop was not quite where it was supposed to be. But otherwise, the recreation is absolutely fantastic, to the extent where it looks like they just took, you know, a bunch of kids who are the world's biggest Harry Potter fans and said, here's $1 billion. Do whatever you want.
Amazing.
And it really is incredible.
You know, I'm trying to remember a Universal long, long, long time ago. But one thing I did love, we took our kids to Disney a few years ago, and I loved the attention to detail.
Yeah, and Universal has really, really stepped up on that, particularly, as I say, in the Harry Potter. And you can see they've kind of been working their way up to that. They're practicing on it. Because we were at Universal before the age of kids, my wife and I, some 18, 19, 20 years ago. And we always felt it was fun. I mean, the rides were fun. There were thrill rides. It was a good experience. But it missed the Disney magic. Like, it didn't feel like a different place. It felt like Canada's Wonderland with branded rides.
Oh, okay.
To me, which is not to diss it. I love Canada's Wonderland. Great place to go. But it's not the kind of place where I would say you need to get on a plane and come out and see this. At least it wasn't then. Now, and you can see how they started to experiment with it. So if you're a Simpsons fan, for example, they've created a smaller version of what I would say they've done with Harry Potter for the Simpsons franchise, where it's not just a ride. There is a ride around which it's anchored, but Moe's Tavern is there. The Android's Dungeon is there. Duff Brewery is there. The places are actually there. And if you want to go to a restaurant, you can order a Flaming Moe, complete with the bubbles pouring out of it. So if you're familiar with that episode, and you can order in Harry Potter Land, and everyone does, for $6.95 US a piece, orders a butterbeer. And every kid stands in line to pick up a wand for $48.50.
Wow.
So I have two. They haven't been touched since we got back, but I have two of them. So, I mean, be prepared for that cost. I do have some tips and tricks to keep it cheaper, but there's no cheap way to do this. I think there are tips to both maximize your time, because, boy, you know, spending a day there is expensive. So, and you know my vacation philosophy. If I'm going to spend a nickel, I want to squeeze a dollar out of that. So if I'm spending $200, I want to squeeze millions out of that.
You know, I got some really good advice from somebody once who's pretty much – they were on their way to Paris with the family for this once-in-a-lifetime thing. And they said, you know what? Sometimes you have to resign yourself to the fact you're going and it's going to be expensive. Don't stress over how much the meals are, how much the souvenirs are. You've committed, you're doing it, and this is all part of the experience.
Yeah, and I think the better idea is to have that budget in mind ahead of time. So, you know, have that discussion with the kids. So we had that with them in the car on the way there when the surprise was broken. All right, we know we're going to spring for wands. They all wanted the robes too. Robes are $110. I put my foot down at the robes.
Oh, good for you.
You guys can get the wands. We are not coming back in full Hufflepuff regalia or whatever the case may be. And they, you know what? They were reasonably okay with that. There's plenty of other things to keep you busy, and it was hot enough that nobody wanted to wear those robes anyway, since we got some terrific weather. So, but you know, you're kind of all in no matter what you do, because the cost of the tickets is extraordinary. I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you're paying probably close to 200 Canadian per day, although that
starts
per person.
Wow.
That starts to get cheaper if you stay longer. So the first day is full price. Second day is typically 90% of the first day, and then it drops precipitously from there. So if you can tack on a third or fourth day, stretch things out a little bit, you might be paying as little as $20 a person for the additional third, fourth, fifth day. Now, the question is, well, you know, where are you staying if you're doing that, if you're coming from Toronto? And I do strongly advise people, there's a massive advantage to staying on site. In fact, I'd say there's three massive advantages to staying on site. Obviously, you're close. So there's five hotels right on the theme park, right basically within the theme park. They're all within walking distance, or you could take a ferry, or there's various shuttles. So that saves you some time. The parks open early for people who are staying on resort property.
Yes, I remember that from
that
Disney, too.
That hour is a really, really big deal, because it's basically the only time that you're going to be able to get on the two big Harry Potter rides without waiting an enormous amount of time in line, at least during the very busy season, as Christmas, of course, was, and other times that people with kids are likely to go. And the huge one is that three out of those five hotels are eligible for what's called their Express Pass system. So when you look at the pricing, factor that very much in mind. You're going to look at a hotel room and say, my God, it's $300, $400, $500. But those Express Passes are sold, depending on the time of year, for up to $70 per person per day.
And so, you get them for staying?
Yeah.
In those,
so if you stay in one of the three that are eligible, we put four of us, crammed us into one room, all four of us in there, but that's 4 times 70. Our room rate didn't rise to that much.
Sure.
And those passes are literally the golden ticket. You walk up to almost anything, virtually any ride except for the two big Harry Potter attractions. So you hit those first thing in the morning, you flash your Express Pass, and next thing you know, 3 minutes later, you're on the ride.
That is worth a lot of money.
And that is absolutely the way to go if you can shell it out, because otherwise you're paying with your time.
All right. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the coordinated vacation tactics for Universal Studios. And Ed Prucci has some more tips and tricks. That's when we return. This is The Crime Traveler. You're listening to The Night Side. Welcome back to the show. Ed Prucci is here, criminal defense attorney, News Talk 1010 chief legal analyst. But this is not about a crime. This is about the crime traveler, because Ed is a big traveler, and he is a very efficient traveler. So you got back from Universal Studios. If anybody's just tuning in, I just want to go over the point that you made and we were talking about in the break. There are three hotels at Universal Studios that if you stay in those hotels, you automatically get fast passes, Express Pass.
So let's run the numbers. There are actually five hotels on site at Universal Studios. Now, if you're just running down the list, you go on their website and you're trying to find the cheapest place to stay, that's great. But be wary, because only three of those hotels offer what Universal calls the Express Pass. And if you're a Disney person, you're used to hearing it called a Fast Pass. In some respects, it's the same thing. But if you're familiar with Disney's new system, what they call Fast Pass Plus, the Express Pass is actually much more powerful than the Disney equivalent. It is basically, like I said before, the golden ticket. So with the exception of a very small handful of rides, chiefly the two big headliner Harry Potter rides and the Hogwarts Express, on almost everything else, it takes you right to the front of the line. So there are two lines where everything starts, one where it's all backed up for 60, 90, 120 minutes if you're there at Christmas, and another one that says, hey, Express Pass holders, and you flash your pass, they scan it, and you basically run right to the front of the line. You're on typically within 5 to 10 minutes. So
that is
that's
so
enormous.
Worth it.
And they will sell you that, right? So if you're not staying on site and you just want to buy it for the day, you can do it. And it depends on how busy the crowd is on a given day. They adjust it up and down as it goes. But during peak times, it runs roughly $70 US per person per day. So if you take a family of four, put them in one of these three hotel rooms that offers you a free Express Pass, in our case, even at Christmas, even at high season, we were paying, I think, $410 US for our hotel room. So not cheap by any stretch.
No, no.
But do the math, 4 times 70, you're not paying a heck of a lot more for the room than you are for the Express Passes. And man, they really make your life a whole heck of a lot easier. So our our military strategy, as it were, was, well, let's get to the park, not when it opens, but an hour before, because we're staying on site. So they're going to let us in an hour early anyway. Head right to those Harry Potter rides first thing in the morning, because the lines will be enormous by the time you get off of them, and then ride the beauty of that express pass for the remainder of the day. And in fact, if you do it right, you can have some time off to actually recharge. I hate saying that because I'm not the recharge kind of guy.
No, no.
But we headed back to the hotel, hit the pool for a little bit at sort of 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is when the throngs are completely unmanageable at busy times. Grab a bite to eat, grab a drink, relax, come back to the park at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, do some night rides to cool down a little bit. The park really does change in the dark. You know, the lights come up. It's very cool. There's a whole different attitude and atmosphere.
All right. So let's have some other of your tips and tricks, because I know you are someone, when you're on vacation, you've told me this before, that sometimes your family say, you know, can we just sit by the pool today? Like, you've got a plan.
Yeah. So and if you think that I take it to the extremes, I'm going to introduce you to a website here. Break out your pens. Write this down. It's touringplans.com. So one word, touringplans.com. These guys are statisticians and psychologists. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
They actually studied this as professionals, and they primarily do it for Disney, but they do it as well for Universal Studios. And I'm going to be working with them for a future Crime Traveler segment.
We'll, oh, cool.
We'll hint at that.
Oh, look, that sounds great.
And they run algorithms, and you say, here are the rides I want to do. Here's the day I want to do it. They know the predicted crowd rate. You tell them what time you're going to show up at the park, how long you want for lunch, when you're going to leave the park, and then it will analyze and create an order basically for you that says, here's where you get on at this ride at this time, use your express pass for this one, have lunch at this place, move to this one. And it'll actually break down by minutes how many minutes you're going to spend walking through the park, how many minutes you're going to spend waiting in line in the park, and how many minutes you're going to be on rides. It is incredible. So an incredibly powerful thing to do. Another tip in terms of money saving. So we talked about how expensive these things are just to get tickets into the park. Everybody's got air miles that they're sitting on from something, right? And oftentimes you're wondering, well, what am I ever going to do with these things? And you want to take a flight, you want to take a hotel. One of the best values on a point per penny basis or point per dollar basis is actually redeeming those air miles, whether they're Aeroplan or those Blue air miles or American, whatever they are. They all offer this for a 2-day pass at Universal, or a 3-day in the case of
Really?
Disney. Yeah. You'd be surprised that on a dollar for dollar basis, it's actually not that many points to get your 2-day pass. And if you say, well, I want to go for longer, those passes are as if you bought them as cash. So I use my air miles. I booked 4 2-day passes, went to the park, said, hey, I'm staying an extra day. Here's my pass that I bought with my air miles. $20. $20 is all it cost me to add the extra day, because they had treated it as if I already paid for days 1 and 2. So enormous savings there. And maybe one last thing that I'll throw in there is pictures. I lug my camera everywhere and anywhere, big digital SLR. That's a pain in the butt. If you like to be the person who says, you know what, I'm going to find Scooby-Doo, I'm going to find Sideshow Bob, I'm going to find the Autobots, because they're all there, and I want the official picture, as it were. So those pictures run you like $20 to $25 mm-hmm. a shot.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you head over to the head office at the front of the park and you say, I want the My Universal Photo app, and I want it for the full time that I'm going to be here. They sell 1-day, 3-day, and even longer packages. So a 3-day package will run you about $90, and that gives you every single photo ever taken in the park. So everyone on every ride, you know that as your roller coaster zips through the hairiest, craziest part of the ride, as the log flume runs past the dinosaur, they're snapping these amazing pictures. You go, you take a peek at it, you try to maybe sneak a shot with your cell phone, which they get really angry about. You want that photo, but you don't want to pay $20. If you just, as we were talking before the break, say, you know what? I'm just gonna eat this. It's gonna be $100. But for my group, whether that's 4, 5, 10 people, we're gonna get every single picture. We're all gonna stuff ourselves into the mystery vehicle. We're all gonna ride Men in Black, you know, all of that stuff. It makes a really nice keepsake for $90 to $100, where you've got a whole album now worth of professional pictures with the characters.
And do you have to get that app before you start your visit?
You've got to get it before the end of the first day. So you can actually start your day at the park, go through it, take a whole bunch of pictures, and just keep track of it. They're going to give you like a little scan card. And then at the end of the day, as long as you haven't left the park for the day, anytime before the park closes, you can go and say, I want to convert this into my Universal Plus. And Disney has the same thing. They call it Memory Maker. And that one they actually attach to your Magic Band, which makes it a lot easier because you're just wearing this one wristband that does anything and everything for you. So also a really, really, really useful thing to do, and gives you that keepsake without spending the $50 on a wand. You know, you've got the photo. photos.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you said you went with, well, you had your kids, but you had a range of ages and everybody managed okay.
Yeah, we ranged from 12 to 70. So it's a pretty big range. And my mother-in-law who trudged along, sometimes we sent the kids ahead and said, hold a spot in line, you know, dig that trench and make sure that we're on the front and then we'll catch up to you. But you can mix it up that way. I mean, you've got to be willing to sort of let some people go. It's not the Marines where no man is left behind. It's okay to leave somebody, you know, with a slushy somewhere and say, we'll come back and get you if that's what they want to do. And as I said before, you know, if you're doing this right, you'll have time to get back to your hotel and relax and take that time off. But by and large, Universal caters, I think, to the older set. So if your kids are, you know, I don't want to limit it too much, but if your kids are, say, under 7 or 8, they might not appreciate it as much. And certainly a lot of the rides are maybe not terrifying, but more thrilling, let's say, than a comparable park like Disney, which is where the big competition is.
So you and I were talking in the break about how Disney is so much bigger than Universal. Was 2 days enough at Universal?
Yeah. So again, we went Christmas Day, Boxing Day, the busiest days of the year. And now we were there at 6:30 in the morning and we got out at 11 o'clock at night, but 2 days was enough. You can do 48 hours and do it all, like literally all.
Well, so, especially if you've got the express pass.
Exactly.
As
if
well.
You've got the express passes. So if you're going at another time of year and, you know, nowadays we're now end of January, I think if anything, people might be thinking about, hey, that Family Day weekend's coming up. I hadn't thought of anything. Orlando's about 3.5 hours away by plane. Family Day weekend is not a thing in the U.S., although this year it overlaps with President's Day. So you got, and often does. So you got to watch that. So it'll be busy, but it won't be jam-packed. You don't necessarily need the express pass, but boy, it sure helps. But it is the kind of thing you can do with a 3-day turnaround and be back home and say, wow, I got a lot done. I feel like I did something really cool, and mm-hmm. now I'm back to the grind.
And not ridiculously expensive if you make it a 3-day trip instead of a 7-day trip.
Yeah. I mean, I hesitate when I say that. It won't be expensive compared to your 7-day trip, but yeah. It'll be a pricey 3 days. There's no two ways around that. I mean, you may want to try to leave the park to eat or bring food with you, because food at the park is not particularly great and quite expensive. Although, again, if you're running around with J.K. Rowling fans, you're going to need to go to the Three Broomsticks
yes.
for a butterbeer.
Do they have any kind of menu plan at Universal? Because I know Disney does, but I don't think Universal did.
So Disney does. I don't remember seeing one for Universal.
Yeah,
they certainly
they
didn't subscribe to it. I'm not a huge fan of going for those meal plans, even though it makes you feel like, you know, you've got everything under control, because it does, make you feel like you need to go for every meal and every snack that you're going to get. And you may want to push things later or earlier. You may decide that lunch can just be a snack, or that you're going to bring a sandwich from your hotel breakfast buffet or something like that and skip that. You may decide, you know, Universal City Walk, which is a beautiful space that actually isn't in the parks, that's just outside, is full of restaurants, has a movie theater there. Maybe you make popcorn your dinner and you go and watch a movie. So you are a little tied down if you commit yourself to the meal plan. And I would generally recommend against that. It gives you more flexibility.
You know, when we went to Disney, we got something, I think it was some sort of a partial meal plan, which was great, because that's sort of what we were thinking. We're not like 3 meals a day every single day. So it just worked out better that we were able to pick and choose a little bit. But that's terrific. Amazing. And we're out of time. How does this go by so quickly?
It runs so fast. See, we got to plan the shows the way we plan the vacations. That way I'll make sure to get everything
that's
in.
Right.
But there is more to come. I've hinted at a few things, and I think we'll have a lot to talk about in May, June, shall we say.
Okay. So we're going to be seeing you again, though, in about 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, we got something else coming up in February, as we always do.
Awesome. That is Ed Prucci, and this is The Crime Traveler on the Night Side.